Today's episode is made possible in part by our sponsors, including Salt and Light Eye Care. Thanks to New Mexico's faith-based boutique practice for expert vision care and advanced aesthetics and treatments. From eye exams to dry eye therapy, they help you see and shine with purpose. Dr. Mindy and her team go above and beyond. Plus, every visit helps support missions near and far. Learn more at saltandlighteyecare.com.
Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today's guest is muralist and painter Noah Barnett, an award-winning artist whose work has brought light and beauty to cities across the country, including right here at Citizen Church. He's a recipient of the Creative Bravos Award and a 40 Under 40 honoree. But what stands out even more is his generosity, pouring his gift into our church family through breathtaking murals for Easter, Christmas, and our biggest moments. His story is one of unexpected turns, God-given vision, and the power of art to inspire. Well, welcome to Table Talk. I'm so glad to have you, Noah, on this episode. I've been looking forward to this for a couple of months. You are you're an anomaly, I feel. You're just this most amazing person that not many people know what makes you tick, because watching you, what you do, I just, you know, did your intro before we came on this episode and talked about some of your awards you've won and what you do as an artist. So if it's okay, we're going to jump in, but welcome. Thank you for
Sounds good.
I'm so happy to have you.
Of course, it's a blessing to be here, and thank you for the kind words.
Okay.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's get going. I feel like you do so much with your art. You're a man of few words, but you express so much. You speak through what you create, which to me that's how I view it. But you're a brilliant artist. You're an even better person. I've known you now for quite a few years. You're part of our Citizen Church family in Albuquerque, which we, we're so blessed to have you. And I've loved seeing the incredible murals that you painted other places, but they're so special at our church, at Citizen Church, because you've created for some of the most special moments that we've ever had at our church. And it just takes it to a whole nother level. So let's just jump into it. So I just need to know, first thing, are you originally from Albuquerque? Are you from here?
Yes, ma'am. Born and raised.
You are. So that's, you know, my kids were born and raised here, but a lot of people come here from somewhere. So where did you go to high school?
I went to Volcano Vista.
So you're a West Side guy.
Yes, ma'am.
And did you go to college?
I went to UNM. Yeah, got my fine art degree over there. Was there for a few different things. Initially was accounting, criminology, architecture, just trying different stuff. So
I also graduated from University of New Mexico. Can you believe it?
Nice.
In the 90s, early 90s. And no, actually, it had to be.
What was your major?
Elementary education. And I minored
in early childhood.
So actually, Dustin was born in 83. So it had to be 85 or 86. I finally graduated. See, I was trying to make it 90s. Nice. I'm old.
Yeah.
I mean, you just told a lot of things you studied in college. What were you like as a kid? Were you artistic? Where did you like to, have you always liked to draw, or what did you do? How were you as a child?
Good question. I think I wasn't necessarily drawing, but I was always interested in making things. So if I had a school project, I would take time making my poster and arranging it and making it look nice and just preparing for a presentation, or laying out my outfit for the next day. I would always just like lay everything out visually, so I know what everything was going to look like. But a lot of sports, that was mainly what I did as a kid, always outside playing.
But you love basketball
sport.
Now, right? You're a big bat. You love basketball.
Exactly.
I know you do.
Yes, ma'am.
For basketball. So in our family, Galen did a lot of the projects for the boys.
Really?
My husband, Galen, is very artistic. And you
Yeah.
probably know that. He is a drawer. He's very
I didn't
artistic,
know that.
extremely creative. And so is Dustin. But Galen always helped them with a lot of their projects because he loved to do it. He was like, let me help them. Their dog and their science fair poster boards. But I know that you love at our 3-on-3 things at church or basketball tournaments, you're always in them or reffing or doing something. So that's
Yeah, exactly.
how creative you are, but also athletic. But I feel this too. I think that athletes are extremely creative. I thought they can keep a beat, you know, I think they have rhythm. I feel like athletes kind
Yeah.
of have to be able to do that. So I'm not surprised that you live in both those worlds. I mean, you said you like, so I love that. You love to lay out your outfit. You want to see what it looked like first, make sure it was going to work
Yeah.
orderly. I love some good orderly stuff. So when did you know that you were drawn to creativity? When did you feel like, okay, this is something I'm good at, not just it's something, you know, that I do?
Yeah. Man, I still don't. I guess I would know now, but that process was not very linear. It wasn't till maybe my mid-20s. I'm 32 now, and I've been on the artistic path since about 2018. So 7 years is when I went back to school. Grew up just wanting to follow in my dad's footsteps. So my dad was in law enforcement, and that was my life's goal for all of high school and middle school. That's just what I was going to do. And graduated high school and ended up getting a job as a police service aide for APD, which is, if you don't know, it's like a step below a police officer where you handle traffic accidents or parking tickets or dust for fingerprints. You just do stuff that is not going to escalate, or because you're not able to carry a firearm until you're 21. So I did that from 18 to 21. Again, just preparing for just a career in law enforcement. When I turned 21, it was then time to go into the police academy, and I was in the academy. I'd get removed for just crazy things in hindsight, just like laughable things. I'd go back in, get kicked out, and this happened 4 times. I think, not I think, I'm a very stubborn person, and I think that has, it's a blessing and a curse, because if I like put my mind to something, then it's almost to the point where I'm just gonna do it, or and I'm not receptive to a lot of outside feedback. And that same mindset has served me well as an artist and just trying to make a career out of being an artist. But yeah, I had it made up in my mind that I was going to be a police officer. And so I'd go in, I'd get removed, and I'd go back in. The last time was actually, it was 2014. It was summer of 2014. I remember it like it was yesterday. I got fired for, again, a crazy reason. And I just was at rock bottom. Just the. They told me at that point that I could not reapply to APD, and I could have gone to the sheriff's department or state police or any other department at that point. But for whatever reason, it was just, again, just being stubborn. My mind was set on this one trajectory, and they told me I couldn't reapply. And a lot of things were kind of tied up. There was a lot of, I think, nuance with that job and my identity, and all of these things were just conflated with the police department. And when I was taken, again, it was just rock bottom. And just remember being on the phone with my dad, just crying, like not sure what I was going to do with my life. And he just said, "Well, that's why you have God." And again, I just remember it so vividly, like it was yesterday. The desire to pursue law enforcement kind of waned, not con it, and just wasn't there anymore, especially with APD. Decided to go back to school. I had gone previously, again, for criminology and architecture and all of these things. And when I re-decided to go back, for whatever reason, I decided to just declare art as my major. I hadn't really been drawing. I would always like draw stuff, but it was frankly never very good. And I say that like objectively. I think if anybody were to look at the stuff I was doing, it wasn't good. And I would trace a lot. So I would just put the paper on top of like a computer screen, just trace over it. But I enjoyed the the process. And again, declared art as my major in 2014. I guess the rest is history. But yeah.
Okay. So obviously I've never heard your story. I only knew when I started researching your background to do this episode, because I've known you at church. I had no idea that you'd even, had a desire to have been in law enforcement before. But I mean, looking back now, so isn't hindsight, it's so good.
Yeah.
But looking back now, I'm sure that you can see purpose even in that detour. So how, I mean, now you see so clearly God's purpose in your life
Yeah.
going through it. It's hard to see the purpose, and it's great that you had a godly father saying to you,
Amen.
this is God, and you've got God if you don't have anything else.
Yeah.
How do you speak to that? What do you say to that? Finding purpose in detours like that in our life.
Was talking to someone about this last night. I think we often get so just tied up in the destination, whether that's a number in the bank account or a relationship or a marriage, and we forsake the journey. And I think the journey is the most important part. The journey is the goal, and I think God is in the journey and not so much in the destination, because you can get the thing, and if God's not in it, then where are you ultimately? So yeah, I'm not sure if that answered your question,
Okay,
but
that's so. I'm really just. I'm working on a project right now, but everything you're saying is just so resonating to me. There's an old gospel song. This is crazy, and it's called "I Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now." Make it to heaven somehow. Okay, I've listened to that as a little girl because my parents loved Southern gospel music. But that line, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And now, for me at my age, when I look back and I think, I wasn't that grateful in the process because it was, things were painful. And you're looking at, I'm sure you're thinking, God, I thought you gave me this desire
I
to
just got
be
the chills.
in law enforcement. Well, I thought you gave me the desire for this. And then how all of a sudden could this not be part of the plan? And so now I look back and things in my life and I think, thank you, God, for turning.
Yeah.
One decision could have changed the path of my life forever. And I listen to your story and I think, I can't even. Wow, God is so good that in his goodness, he can sometimes stop us in our track to take us where he wanted us to go. Because obviously there was something he needed you to learn during all that time.
Exactly.
That's just an unbelievable part of your story, I think. And you went back and declared art as your major and started working on becoming an artist and growing your craft. And I just want to interject here. I sat by you on the airplane recently, coming back from a trip in Orlando with students from our church, and your writing, I couldn't see because I wear contacts and I can't hear good either. But anyway, that's good. But your writing, I'm looking at your handwriting. You have the most beautiful handwriting. I look at,
Well, thank you.
gosh, there's so much detail in your handwriting. I'm thinking, that's going to be a good husband because you pay such attention to the detail. Like somebody,
Yeah.
grab you up because just your handwriting, the fact that you lay out your outfit, I'm like, these are big things, ladies that are listening,
Yeah.
single. These are
Funny.
great qualities in a man. But I mean, you started doing some work and you started putting it out there because like I said, I started researching you and seeing some of the awards locally and other that you've won. When did you get brave enough? You said you didn't love your drawings at first. What was the catapult?
Yeah. So art school was tough, just looking back, because again, grew up playing sports and grew up going to church, grew up in law enforcement. And even those three things, when you enter those three things into like an artistic context or a secular school context, because there's universities, right, which are inherently left. I shouldn't say that. Inherently liberal would be a better word. And then there's arts, which is even further on the spectrum. So when you walk into an art class and you tell people that you're Christian, and at the time when things were just racially contentious, you used to work in law enforcement and you grew up playing sports, and you don't have a language or a vocabulary for just artwork and just the art world in general, it's just it's tough to walk in there with confidence. And so it was a trying time for sure, just trying to find my voice and what I wanted to say. And then on top of that, what I was drawing and painting at the time was very realistic. And that, again, is it's a separate issue with within art school, because a lot of it is about symbolism and metaphor and the not so much what you're doing or painting, but how you articulate it and how you talk about it. So art school, again, was a tough time for me. And at that time, it also, because you tell your immediate family you're just switching life trajectories and you're not going to do this and now you're going to do this, and when you tell your parents that you want to be an artist and that there's no security there, it's tough. So I felt pretty isolated, frankly, and it was a tough time, but it just built, I think, my skin to just not care. Even now, I think I'm just so dissociated from a lot of the things that I do. It's just like, even that, I think that's a big reason why the stuff at the church, when I do spend a week or two painting something and then it gets painted over, it doesn't bother me in the least, because it's just paint at the end of the day, and it just can get painted over and then you just paint something else. So it just, again, just built that resolve and just gave me a thick skin to, like you said, just put stuff out into the world and then not care too much about how it's received. Not that I don't care about how it's received, but not care about someone's opinion of me based on what I'm creating, if that makes sense. Because you obviously want feedback to let people, or to see what you're doing, if it's good or beneficial or stuff like that.
You're so I've no guys, I've lived this with you at our church when, one of your pieces has gotten to stay up for a while now. And it's so, I mean, everybody when they come in and the story that's there with it. And I'm hoping we can show some of those pictures, but I know what you're saying. So you had to basically not take it so personal, like, because you own it. It's a piece of you. That's how I feel about, if I preach a sermon or if I write something, that is me out there. Someone, you have to just almost not take it personally because it's not personal. You said you've been able to do that so well. But on the flip side, your work is so appreciated on such a large scale so where you started when you was hard to tell your family, I was going to be in law enforcement and now I'm going to be an artist. So how did you go from artist to muralist? Because I mean, it's one thing to paint on a small canvas when. So tell us, for people that have never been to Citizen Church, when you paint one of our large walls, what size are you painting? What size painting is that?
I actually, funny enough, don't know the dimension of those walls.
An artist.
Painted them so much, but I don't know the dimensions. They're big walls, though. I'm
Gotta be
sure
100
we can.
feet. Gotta be at least 200 feet. I mean, I don't know long. I mean,
Don't
that
know 200. I don't think it's 200. That it's.
maybe
I wouldn't even say it's 100, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'll have to measure the next time I'm there, but
but that's it's like a huge commercial wall in a huge commercial building. If someone is trying to get a visual, like if you were in a grocery store, the long wall, somewhere, it's just huge. It's and you do that from, a small, I mean, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you have to, everything you do has such meaning. That's what I would say. I've seen your pictures of other art you've done across the country and other places. You've done art personally for us, where my son Brandon launched his church. Everything has such meaning and detail. And my assumption is that you probably don't do things that you can't put your heart and soul in, even if it's more a project outside of a church, which you do a lot of that too. What do you hope people feel or experience when they see your art? What do you hope they see?
I think that's a tough question too, because interpretation is so such a tough thing to control. A lot of the times I may have an objective with something I'm doing, whether that's a feeling or an idea. And then once it's made, you kind of just put it out into the world and leave the interpretation up to the viewer, the beholder. But I think A lot of my work has to do with light, both symbolic and metaphor, like metaphorical light. Just God is the ultimate source of light, so I paint a lot of flowers, a lot of strong light sources, and just ultimately trying to get people to look up, as broad as that may be, but just trying to paint a picture, for lack of a better word, of God in just a different perspective, or again, just shine light on certain things. Because, like you said earlier, I think I'm very observant, and I'm always writing things down, and I do pay attention to detail. And so I feel like I've been blessed with a unique perspective, and oftentimes not the best ability to articulate it verbally. And so writing things down and visualizing them through paintings is just my way of getting that. I kind of imagine it as like a stained glass, which the image at the church actually has stained glass in it, but it's partly why I was so fascinated by it. If you imagine like the body of Christ is a single stained glass image, and each of us is just one single like pane in the stained glass. And if I don't do my job to clean my glass or allow the light to shine through, then the full image is not going to be seen, right? You need all the different panes, because the light's trying to shine through, and if mine is blocked or it's cloudy or it's dirty, then I'm not doing my job. And it just feels like painting is just my little part of trying to show the totality of who Christ is as the ultimate creator, because that's like the first thing that he did as God, is just create. And I think that's such a special thing.
Really amazing, because one of the questions I had for you, which you basically just answered, is where do you get your inspiration? But you just answered it, that I mean, I feel like your relationship with Christ, that's intact so well. I mean, you love God with all your heart, and obviously he gives you inspiration, because I mean, we are who we are and our talents and gifts because God, placed those in us. I still can't, I guess it's so hard for me to see how you took the leap from drawing that wasn't good that you were tracing to coming up with these pieces that you put on these huge spaces. I mean, do you ever just step back and go, dang, I'm really good? Because I would. I mean, nobody knows. Can you? So I need you to. So you've done a lot at our church. So I've gotten to see you work. And this is the thing about you as an artist. I don't know about every artist, but I tell people you're nocturnal. I mean, you love to work at night when no one's there. Need your space and you're creating. Okay, you guys, he does these paintings with spray paint. This is not like with a brush where it's control. You're having to control with these bottles, big things of paint, and you're spraying, and you wear a mask, and we're all smelling fumes. We're all high when we leave the church. How that works out. But when just walk us through the process. How do you paint? Because I know up until right now in this podcast, people have been thinking, oh, painter, he paints with a roller or a paintbrush. So tell us, how did you figure out how to do that?
It's just trial and error. I think if you understand how to paint, it's just another medium to try and master, because I do initially started out using brushes and stuff, and you can kind of see this is using brushes on a canvas behind me. But yeah, the first mural I ever painted was with Johnny, who was a tattoo artist at our church as well, and he had already had some experience with spray paint, doing like quick stuff that you see at like the state fair, where you'll just do it quick and then you'll just like sell those one-offs. And so he kind of got me started with some tips and tricks, and then I'm just I don't know if hungry is the right word, but I'm just always trying to improve. And yeah, if that's a YouTube search or just Google searches, whatever resources are out there, I'm just always trying to just improve and grow and just learn. So spray paint is, it's just another medium, and it's frankly not as difficult as it may seem. There are some dexterity and like a learning curve that comes with using spray paint, but Yeah, I think it's not too crazy.
You draw, like, do you start out with a picture on a piece of paper first, and do you think, okay, that's a flower? So if anybody's ever been to our church in Albuquerque or seen pictures of it, or our Citizen North campus and the coffee, these murals are crazy. But like, there's a 5 foot, 6 foot flower. Like, how, that's what I, because I'm not artistic at all, at all. And so I think, how do you get something from a drawing on a paper? Do you have to measure it? Like, do you have to know that, dimensions before you start painting, or you just say, I'm going to start and then see how it goes?
Yeah, there are different tactics, different tools you can use to scale things up. And I make all my references on the computer on Photoshop and then kind of go from there. And so I'll have an image design fully fledged out. And most of the creativity comes before the painting process. So then when I'm painting, it's more so just about execution and trying to make it look as good as possible. So I'll make it on the computer and then when I have that, there are a number of ways to just scale that up, whether that's using what's called a doodle grid, which is just like making random marks on the wall. And I can provide you with some images to give some visuals to what I'm speaking about. But you just make a bunch of marks on the wall and you take a picture of that and you reduce the transparency of the opacity of your reference image on top of all of the random marks, and then you can see like where stuff interacts. And that's an easy tool. I did that with the wall that's been up at the church for a while. That's what I used to get that one up. Or use something as simple as a projector and you just project it and then kind of outline where things are and then you just paint it from there. So, yeah.
That's, I mean, I, one of these days, but I can't keep the hours you keep. I would love to watch you paint, but when I'm sleeping, you're awake painting. So that doesn't work too much. Do you approach? So tell us before I ask that question, what are some of the projects you've done? Obviously not in our church. You've done many, many, many. You make a living doing them outside our church. So tell us about some things
Yeah.
you've done in the past and some things you're maybe doing now. This episode is also brought to you in part by the DenCloud team at Coldwell Banker Legacy Real Estate. Jason and Bree bring unmatched experience and a personal touch to every home journey. Start today at homebuyingabq.com. Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way for people to find the podcast and be encouraged. Now, back to the conversation.
Been blessed to paint, like you said, all over the country. I think some of the bigger projects were in Art Basel in Miami. I've done some walls out there. Painted in, yeah, really all over. Got to go to Maui. That was for the church, but that was special too. Even in Albuquerque, I've done just some walls downtown, like Martin Luther King. I did a wall for just kind of commemorating Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King, the street here in Albuquerque. But yeah, I'll send you some images just to give an idea of some of the other things. And then right now I'm working on a project at Central University right across from UNM. And that one's special. Route 66, the street is turning 100 and the city. And I think there's projects happening all over the country, but the city of Albuquerque is doing a lot to commemorate that because we have the largest stretch of Route 66 within a city in the nation. And so there's a number of projects that the city is sponsoring to just go up. And right now I'm working on one. And Route 66 is called the Mother Road. That's just a nickname for it. And in this wall, I'm actually painting my mother. And so she hasn't seen it yet. She was like adamantly against it. I had to like coax her to just let me do this. And so I'm pretty much, but I think by the time this airs, that wall will be done. And so I'll be able to give you some images of that as well. But that one's special.
I don't know if I'd want my son to paint my picture up on the Route 66 over
Yeah, it's
either.
massive too. Like, yeah,
Oh,
it's huge.
no, unless you could maybe make sure I had no wrinkles and everything. You can do
Yeah,
that.
that's what she said.
Need to brush out those wrinkles and I'll let you put my picture up there. Again, you've done things like, so when you went to Maui, that was really special because it was just a couple of years ago at, when right after the Maui fires and they needed some things done. You just were able to bless that community, Lahaina, with these
Yeah.
beautiful paintings on a transportainer just to bring life so that they weren't looking at dull stuff. Just to, all the things you've done so many wonderful things. Your heart's behind it. So my assumption would be that your faith has shaped so much of what you create, even if it's something, you know, not for a church or a faith-based organization. You've got, you said you're 32 and you've been, sounds like you've been in church your whole life.
Yeah.
But your faith in Christ is what moves everything that you do. So it impacts it all, even in your work outside the church.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's kind of a weird my I think my job and just what I do for a living, it kind of not kind of, it's just I don't know how to say it, but I get a lot of compliments and I'm not good at receiving them. I think for a number of reasons, it's tough for me to it's I shouldn't say it's tough. I just understand that I can't take any credit for anything, frankly. I shouldn't be here. I just in every aspect, if I look at the journey, like there's no reason that I go back to school to become an artist. There's no reason to just make that decision, or there's no reason that I've gotten like exponentially better over the years. There's no reason that I'm able to make so few people are able to make a living out off their artwork. So just all of these things, every step along the way, I can't take any credit for any of it. And it's just God just continuing to bless me. And so that's why it's difficult for me to receive a compliment, because I know it's all him. And so at every point and every opportunity, I always just try to give him the glory. And yeah, just knowing that it's such a blessing and it's such a gift. I just try to give it back to him as best as possible. And that comes with some pressure sometimes, just knowing that we all have this amount of potential, and kind of the parable of the talents, right? Where the one was given 10, you want to give 10 back. And whatever that 10 looks like for me, I want to just make sure that I squeeze every ounce of juice out of the fruit that I was given. But yeah, he's the source and the objective, I guess, of everything that I do, even outside of painting, you know.
When you're talking, I'm thinking your faith is so strong. I mean, you're a leader in our church, and you're a leader for students too, and you're such an example to the students of Citizen Church. We have a huge student ministry, so it's pretty remarkable the impact that leaders like you, adult leaders like you, have on these students. But did you ever have a time in your life where you haven't walked with God, or that you question your faith, or have you always just been as solid as you are now?
Yeah. I think so. I would say yes to both of those. There's definitely, I think early 20s, around that time when stuff happened with the police department, and I w went back to school, and going back to school and just being around the environment of at a university, you're just exposed to a lot more things. And so I was doing research on just every religion possible, just being inquisitive, and again, just looking into things. That's just in my nature, just always trying to learn. And so I was learning about just really anything, any religion, and just struggling with belief and just questions that I think a lot of people struggle with, and just having doubts. And ultimately, I think it just brought me out stronger on the back end. But also in that process, I was never making poor decisions, or and thankfully, again, I can't take any credit for it. There's just I look back and God just kept me close, even despite my lack of faith, my lack of don't know if tact is the right word, but they're just when I look back on situations, there's no reason why I shouldn't have made certain decisions. Just being in certain rooms, in certain environments, the desire to do certain things was just never there. But yeah, again, I think God is just, his hand is just just provision, just always this I've just seen throughout my life.
How did you wind up at our church? I don't know that story. I didn't know you. And then one day there's this artist painting on the walls, and I'm like, he's amazing. So I don't know that story.
I grew up going to Calvary. I went to Calvary pretty much my whole life, and my dad moved, I think, when I was a freshman and sophomore in high school. He moved to Arkansas to first job in law enforcement, and so my parents were still married, but my dad was in Arkansas, and so my mom was at the time getting ready to move to Texas to be closer to him. And I was still going to Calvary. I was never really involved. I would go sit in the patio and just listen to the sermon, drive home. So wasn't really in community, but I was still involved. And then I heard about, it was called Focus Conference at the time, which is like the rally now. And so I went to that in 2014, January of 2014. And I still remember Darius Daniels was speaking, and I still listen to him to this day. But yeah, I just saw Focus Conference and decided to go, and that was 11 years ago now.
We have such a strong young adult community at our church too, like a huge young
Yeah.
adults. And I'm sure.
And Wake, yeah, Wake was massive in my, because that's, I was at UNM at the time.
And you have the something to counter all the
Exactly.
ugly things. You're having to face at on a public university campus that you're able to go to church with young adults that are have strong faith in Christ, because that is such a formative time in your
Yeah.
20s. I mean, there's so many questions and things you could have, like you said, you could have gone another way so easy, but God had other plans. And 11 years at our church, that's crazy.
Yeah.
A baby started coming.
Right.
How did I know you, and I know you didn't walk up and say, "I paint." So you said you did something. I paint. I know that didn't happen. Did you met Johnny? I mean, you started doing something with Johnny. How did we know that you painted?
I don't know, actually. I'm trying to think of the first wall that I painted. I think it might have been the flip the script with like the, I can't remember actually. I would have to go back and look, but I think that might have been the first one. It
All the
was
people's
like,
testimonies or something.
yeah. I think that was the first one. But yeah, I don't know how that came about.
Like I say, I know you, and you're not going to stand up and announce that
Right.
we paint. So no way, because like I've known you now over 10 years, and I've had no idea what your story was, because I love that you have never had to toot your own horn. This God has put you in places that you need to be, in places and spaces and in rooms that He needed you to be in. And I really feel that strong for anybody also that's listening that thinks, I've got to strive and hustle to find my way. And I believe that we need to do everything we need to do, but I also believe I've gotten in places, like I just said, or spaces that there is no way I should have been there except God, that there's
Yeah.
nothing I could have done to get myself there except God
Yeah.
directed my path and put me there. So I do believe that we can do everything we want to do, but ultimately God puts us where He wants us to put us. And I mean, how do people know about you? How do they like, so you do these things all over the country or spaces in our city. Is it just word of mouth? People talk about Noah Barnett, and he's a gifted muralist. And how do people know about you?
Yeah, I just want to go back to what you just mentioned about like being in a space. It's like my worst nightmare would be trying to pry open a door or knock down a door that God doesn't want me to walk through. And it makes me think of Exodus 33, where Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with us, then I'm not going to go. And I think that's just it's comforting, right? You don't have to force, you don't have to just be anybody but yourself. And if you're yourself and you're still going to need to work hard, but if you work hard, then God's going to put you where He needs to be. And I think that just segues into your question. At this point, especially within the local community and even just on a broader scale, it's kind of like a snowball effect, right? You do a certain amount of projects and then you do a project and then somebody sees that one and they hire you for another one. And so at this point, the snowball is just to the point where people are reaching out to me, and I'm just blessed enough to have a wait list. And so I'm usually booked out a few months in advance, and yeah, just staying busy, which is again such a blessing, but I can't take any credit for it. It's just trying to be a good steward of what's in my hand, you know?
You feel like you're living a dream, your dream?
Yeah, definitely. It's just when I do take a step back and just realize, like, just take stock of things, it's just makes me emotional, because I just know I'm just so blessed. And that's not even just about being an artist, but I woke up today, I have breath in my lungs, I'm healthy. If God took away the my ability to paint, I think this, oh, I'm gonna butcher it, but there's a psalm that says, if I forget you, remove the skill from my right hand. And I think it might be, I don't want to say the verse, because I'm if I get it wrong, I'll be disappointed in myself. But if I forgot how to paint tomorrow and I had to go work at, I don't know, it doesn't, whatever, McDonald's or Walmart or whatever, I think I would still be as joyful, because again, I just woke up with the ability to serve God in whatever capacity that is. And right now it's painting, and so I'm just gonna, again, just do the best that I can with that in this season. And yeah.
That's amazing. So if someone, there'll be a lot of someones that listen or watch that feel like they have a dream that's too big, or their life took a turn that they feel like they're not going to be able to achieve that dream, that the dream is too far away. What would you say to them?
Perfect. if it's not too far away, then God doesn't need to be there. And there are things that even I have in my head right now that I'm working on to bring to life, and God's going to need to show up. And if he doesn't need to show up, then you need to dream bigger. So I would say, yeah, then you're in a perfect spot space if that's the case.
I love that you're, a young man, and that you know this at that age, because for so many people, they're older before they realize what you just said, that I can only do so much. I feel like, the older that I get, the more cautious I get on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm also not afraid. It's crazy that those two get together, because I think I'll try it, like this podcast. 63 years old, I started a podcast, and I was very afraid and thinking, I don't think I can. But on the other hand, I thought, why not? So that's to be able to do that at your age, you're setting yourself up for a lifetime of honestly God being able to do whatever he wants to do, because you're saying, God, I won't go without you. I'm not going to go. So he wants you. I just, we answer that in the spaces and places, and people that should hear about you hear about you. I just have gotten braver in my old age. My husband says, how could you get any more brave? Because I just talk to anybody or whatever. I've gotten more brave to reach out and say, I mean, what have I got to lose? Because if God wants it to be, it will be. And I can't mess it up, too bad. And so I really just honestly ask God, who do you want? Who should I know? Who should I meet? So on the flip side, you're had this quiet strength. I'm loud and talkative. When you sat by me on the plane, you probably thought, oh, my father. But, I love to meet people and hear their stories, even if it's in a line at the post office or grocery store, because I think, God, who am I supposed to know today? Who am I supposed to meet today? Who needs to speak into me, and who do I need to speak into? So I think that that's a cool aspect. Boy, time goes by really fast. We have some more minutes, but I feel like that this would be a great question to end this podcast on. So what advice would you give that person listening? We just talked, and you said, you mentioned that if it's not too big for them, then maybe they should dream bigger. I mean, we want it to be too big for us. But what advice would you give someone about trusting God and taking the next step? Because you had to have a place in your life where you just had to step out. There is no security, I would imagine, in being an artist in Albuquerque, New Mexico at first. What would you tell someone, whatever they're thinking they want to do in their life, about trusting God and taking the next step.
Yeah. What you said just rings true. Being an artist in any capacity, I think even the most established artist just has uncertainty with next year. I don't know. Things could dry up and I could lose all my business, and that's a very real, it's just reality. And so, and when I allow my brain to think about those things, then there's some fear and anxiousness that may bubble up. And so it's just putting your focus on the right things, like you said, trusting God. And I always equate it to when Peter walked on water. He's in this storm and there's chaos around, and rightfully so. There's a moment when he just like starts to look around. And if you're, for me, that's like, oh, I pay my bills by people paying me to paint something on their wall. When I think about it logically, it's crazy. But when I keep my eyes focused on Jesus, when you trust in God and you just focus on him, then you can be at peace, and then you'll be walking on water at that point. And whatever walking on water looks like to the listener, to whoever that is, God wants you to walk on water. There are miracles that he wants to move through your life, but it's going to require you to just focus on him and not worry about the storm or uncertainty or any sort of outside noise that may be there.
I love that, and I amen to all that. I need this. I need this episode today, the day we're recording it, actually, as much as I ever have. And I just happen to think, sitting here, and we're going to close in a minute and have you pray. But I happen to think, we last fall, you got to go, and I got to go, and my family on a trip with some people from our church to
Yeah.
Greece and Turkey and Ephesus, and we did the Footsteps of the Apostle Paul, that tour. Is there just one memory spiritually that stuck out to you, like that was maybe life-changing for you? Not the airport in Germany, but
Yeah.
that
All right.
was something that stood out to you.
Man. Yeah, definitely. I leading up to that whole trip, I had been memorizing the book of Ephesians, and just being in Ephesus, because that was almost the most preserved part of the whole trip. It was just special to just be able to walk through and just be able to recite the words in my mind of that Paul wrote to that community. I'll never forget it. That was so special.
I have chills when you're saying it. My husband Galen says the same thing, that Ephesus, for me, when we went to the island of Patmos and walked in that cave where John wrote
Yeah.
the Revelation, I could hear him. I could hear that being recited, Revelation, and how it started. And I have chills now, but thinking about how he was, banished to this island, and there he wrote such an important book that's going to set us up for the millennial, and just that was just such a special trip. And I think that that's where I feel like getting to know you and seeing your spirit and how eager you are to learn. You're such an interesting person, truly, and a gift to our community, to others, and a special gift to our church and my family. And I'm just thrilled to have had you on here. And I do know, I can't wait for my husband to listen to this episode. He's going to love this so much. He's going to love everything about it. But I know there are others, like I've mentioned throughout this time, that'll be listening, thinking, well, that worked out for you. You had this one plan, but look how great your life is now. And that happened to work out for you, but life's just not working out for me. And I love to close the podcast in prayer, because I do believe that we sometimes people just need to know that they can, if they don't have enough faith, that we're going to cover them in prayer for the next step in their life. There's a lot of people listening, many, many, many young adults. The biggest listening age is Gen Z to this podcast, and they're going to be listening,
Wow.
thinking, how do I make it? And some millennials, but how do I make it to the next step? How does God do that? So would you, as we close, just pray over people watching, listening? And you know what's interesting about a podcast? You never know when someone's going to find
Yeah.
it. And what we're, it could be a month, it could be 6 months, but if you would just end this in prayer, that would be
Yeah.
amazing.
Well, before we end, I just want to say thank you. You mentioned your family, and your family has been such a just pivotal for me in so many different aspects, giving me the ability to paint at the church and just hone my craft and do it in such a special place, and just have that spiritual impact. Again, going to Wake with Brandon, just the fruit of you as a mother and your sons and your just your whole family is it impacting me so much. So again, thank you for that. And again, thanks for having me. And
Thank you. I'm
yeah, I would
blessed today. Close us in
all
prayer.
right. Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, just come to you just grateful for so many things, for the breath in our lungs, for the ability to just speak over the internet and listen to things while we work and just while we go about our lives, God, just the ability to just learn so much information and just listen to people's stories virtually. And we just don't take all of any of these things for granted, God. We know that you're in the future when, as I'm praying, someone's listening to this weeks, months, years down the road, but you're just as present in that moment as you are today, God, with that person in that moment, God. And I just am thankful for who you are. And ultimately, I pray that you just give the listener so much peace. Just peace in the journey, peace on every step in every day. Not so much focused on the end destination, but knowing that the journey is where you are. And like Moses said, we take off our sandals in front of you now because where we are is holy ground. And we may not be the place where we want to be, but again, if you are with us, then we are on holy ground, God. And I pray that you just give us the ability to see that and feel that and just rest and have comfort knowing that you are with us and you are sovereign and you have life planned out. So we don't need to press, we don't need to strive. We can just be who you've called us to be, and just be content in who you've made us to be as the ultimate creator, Father. You've given us seeds and planted seeds within us, and seeds have all the ingredients and how all of the recipe that they need within them. And we just ask that you continue to water us, give us light, give us your sun. And allow us to just grow us into the people that you've called us to be. Pray that you just bless this podcast, bless Pastor Kay as she just continues down this endeavor, that this just grows exponentially and just blesses so many people, countless people, God. And again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for your spirit. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. My goodness, I have loved this time with you. It's been so special. I'm just thank you so much for your yes, and let's just see what God's going to do. God is.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kaywoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.